This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey there, thank you for joining us on Resource Center, where industry experts, business owners, and hands-on entrepreneurs compare useful notes on conceptualizing, creating, managing, and growing their businesses. I'm Audrey Raj. So earlier this June, I had the privilege of attending the Adobe Symposium 2019. Now, for those of you who haven't heard of the symposium before, it's a mind-blowing digital experiences conference where Adobe executives and customers from around the world share learnings and tech innovations to help organizations and businesses embrace customer experience management. This year saw 4,000 business leaders, digital marketers, creatives, and tech experts convene in Sydney to learn more about the next phase of bringing customer-centric visions to life. Now, if you're sat there right now asking yourself what Adobe Flash or Photoshop has to do with customer experience, well, let me just put your mind at ease before we go any further. While Adobe is iconic in the creative industry for their multimedia and creative software products like Flash and Photoshop, and a host of other products like Adobe Illustrator, for instance, they've also made significant advancements in digital marketing software. Products like the Adobe Marketing Cloud, Adobe Experience Manager, and the Adobe Experience Platform are changing the way businesses interact and engage with customers every day around the world. So you can imagine how stoked I was when the guys from Adobe asked to fly me out to Sydney for the symposium, because I was just itching to soak up everything these customer experience management pros had to say. What I'm about to play you now is one of my favorite sessions from day two of the Adobe Symposium 2019. It's called Simply Better Experiences, Data-Driven Personalization at Scale. It's hosted by actor, comedian, and math geek Adam Spencer and features C-suite guests from some of Australia's biggest brands like Mitsubishi Motors, Velocity Frequent Flyers, University of Canberra, and Accordion. Hear how their businesses have embraced personalized experiences to realize value and increase business returns.
Let's start big and drill down. Experience. What does it mean? What does experience mean in your particular business? I'll start with you, Scott Nichols. Education, higher ed, University of Canberra. What does experience mean?
Experience for us is taking a different view of what the university's current and traditional relationships with students have been. For a long while, we have been in a bit of a bubble where we've thought we've had a very special and unique relationship with students. And for, I'm sure, university colleagues in the audience, it's almost been a taboo to use the C word of students being customers. So experience for us is breaking that paradigm and actually working with our students to realise they are, if not customers, they're consumers of the activities and the products we're delivering, and to treat them like that, to not treat it as a one-way relationship that we're the education provider, you're the learner, so here are the 10 commandments, you must have them. It's about working with students to do a different experience, a different journey.
And it's interesting that there's so much resistance around that changing of description, because the actual reality of students' lives has changed so much. I mean, when I enrolled at the University of Sydney for my arts degree, which turned out to be the best 9.5 years of my life, but I can remember for several years there standing in the queue outside the main quad to get in, to go to one of dozens of paper stations to go around. You're now talking an era where students will complain if the lectures aren't posted online in advance of the lecture, because they probably can't get there because they're working 30 hours a week. So all of that has changed. Why are they so hesitant to change an understanding? A source last year said that because the new platform that you've installed, let me quote you, will position the university as one of Australia's most digitally progressive tertiary institutions. The personalisation and optimisation of a student's digital touchpoints will provide a contextual, intuitive and student-centric experience by delivering relevant information to individuals over the course of their engagement with the university. Now, I understand pretty much every individual word in that paragraph, but put in the order they are, I've got no idea what I just said. what did you do? What was this project that was so ambitious?
Okay, let me try and put it into English. So what we did several years ago is we kind of had a bit of a light bulb moment, and as I just said, we realised that we weren't treating students as customers. We were very archaic in the way that we engage with students, you know. So to add them to what you just said before, we don't have the long queues as such anymore, but we still have in 2019, when all of our school leaver students are millennials, a process where we say, come into the student centre and fill in this paper-based form and use this thing called a pen, and go and find the unit convener who's never in their office and get them to sign it and bring it back. And we just went, you know, if we looked outside our sector and looked at how sectors like banking and retail have changed in the last 5 or 10 years, and many others, we're just kidding ourselves that that's the right way to go. So our project is about creating an immersive, personalised digital experience for our students from first inquiry to graduation and beyond. And really, you know, on the screen now, one of the really simple things that we've done is, prior to this project, students had 6 different calendar or 7 different calendar applets that they had to use to be successful at UC. So we just had this really weird, radical, out there idea and went, what if there was one calendar applet that the other 6 all talked to? I know we're groundbreaking. I know this is just mind-boggling for everybody in the room. Just give them one way to get what they need to get.
And Scott, I was going to say, before this project kicked off, there was a sort of an interim time where you're almost in a digital line. There was 22 different landing pages and sites that students had to access to get the information that we've rolled into one. So there was sort of almost a similar experience to in the digital world to what you spoke about, Adam.
Well, because I remember, somebody, let's go to motor. I remember my first experience of purchasing a car was literally a guy in a brown leather jacket with a cigarette saying, if you can pay me in cash, I'll knock $400 off, which was 10% of the price of the car. So it was, hello. And he literally used phrases like, it hurts me to sell this car. I love it so much. This beat up used Mazda 323, right? I presume nothing's changed. That is still the experience of purchasing a car, yeah?
That's fantastic. Well, it could be. I hope it's not. But no, I think the experience for the customer, there are two in the car industry, because it's an actual product as well. So obviously you have the experience of purchasing and servicing and all those service that we will provide to the customer. But the real experience is inside the car, isn't it? It's actually driving the car and your day-to-day, what you use your car for. And that needs to be a great customer experience as well. So the difficulty in the car industry is that I think that the experience hasn't really changed that much.
Will it change?
I think it will change drastically, but not necessarily because of the car industry, but because of the other players that are coming around. It's because of the technology that is coming around. So you have the driverless cars, and you have all these other companies like Google and Apple and all of them, that it's going to actually enter in this industry, and it's going to disrupt, and it's going to change the whole game.
Because when I went to buy that car, that was exactly the way that you'd buy a book or a CD, it was probably a vinyl back then, or a jacket, or whatever. Now that people would buy books and see and music and all that online, but is there something about a car that you know, some people say certain products, will people ever just purchase cars online without going and physically seeing them and touching them, or will they just do 95% of the work in advance and still go to a dealer? How does that all work?
So I think it might be a mix of it, because we used to say the same thing about shoes, for example. Mm-hmm. So we used to say, we're never going to buy a shoe that we can't try first. And now, you know, the online shoe industry is huge. So everyone is doing it, because you make the experience great and you make the return easy, and then you make that experience much nicer for the person. But with the car, obviously you want to test drive first. Mm. So it is a much bigger price tag as well. So it's not going to be as simple as the shoe industry, I don't think. So I think it's either going to be something that you have such a wow experience that you just don't touch anything and you buy everything online and you have the car driven and delivered to your preferred place. It could be the, you know, the front door of your house, or you could actually end up having a mix of a self-service dealer, for example, that you go in there and you can find a way to actually test drive the car and do everything yourself. We actually don't know what's going to happen with the car industry. That's the part that is could be scary, but it could be extremely exciting.
What has experience been for you, Jonathan, in your space?
I mean, Australia is probably, I think, one of the most buoyant loyalty markets in the world. And
really?
Australians love collecting and redeeming loyalty points. But I think that the challenge for loyalty is you've got to constantly remind people what the value of a point is and what they can get for it. We don't have a retail storefront. We don't have a physical experience. It's an intangible product. So for us, our experience is everything, the digital experience, how we take our customers or our members on the what we call the earn, burn, and yearn cycle. We want them to earn points, want them to redeem them for a fantastic holiday.
And then you want them to want more.
To want more and repeat the whole thing over again. There's different types of frequent flyer and loyalty program member. You've got your very frequent flyer that flies a lot and collects lots of status credits. You've got people who earn the majority of their points through credit card points, which is an interesting sector for us to think about. And I think one of the challenges is we've got 400-odd partners. Mm. So it's just that challenge of communicating all of our fantastic Tier 1 partners in financial service and airline and telco, but also thinking about, you know, the retail partnerships and some of the smaller, more niche partners that we've got. And it's really communicating that right message to the right member at the right time.
It's time for a break, but when we come back, more on personalization to create better customer experiences. Your Resource Center sneak peek into the Adobe Symposium Digital Experiences Conference continues after this. BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Resource Center with Audrey Raj. Increasing prices and stronger competition across all industries has forced businesses to shift gears and focus on delivering world-leading customer experiences. Businesses across retail, travel, hospitality, telcos, and even financial services are all realizing that customers now want more than just products and services. They want experiences. So how do you create great customer experiences? Well, here are several executive leaders from some of Australia's biggest brands, together with actor-comedian Adam Spencer at the Adobe Symposium 2019. They share their insights into how they've transformed their businesses to become leaders in customer experience.
Accordant was founded with this whole concept of personalization in both customer service and experience and product. That was at the heart of the whole idea, wasn't it?
Correct, yes, absolutely. So conceived with personalization as being the core concept for the business. And it was quite interesting. What we pretty quickly realized is personalization is a very broad term, and a lot of different businesses actually have a slightly different angle or attack on what they're actually looking to get out of personalization.
Is the general rule it just has to make the experience better in some way?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the main concept is personalization should always be a positive experience. You don't want to give somebody a personalized experience that's going to be, and it should be measurable as well. You should be able to understand the experience that you're delivering through personalization is positive and measured against some form of baseline or control.
Because a great customer experience involves more than just customer service. What are other factors that contribute to a memorable experience with a brand?
I think when we come to places, to events like this, you hear a lot of great ideas that's going to, you have to go back and wow your customer to have a great customer experience. But I think the most important thing is actually meeting their expectations. So technology changed so much lately that we all are consumers as well, and we all have expectations on what exactly we want that service to be or that product to be when we are actually doing the transaction, right? So it's the same with our consumers. So if you are actually meeting the consumer expectation, every single touch point of the customer journey, you are already winning ahead of the curve because the majority are not. And that's a fact, unfortunately. So you need to really make sure that you go back and see if you are really doing that. And if you're not, go back to every single touch point and try to get that first. Try to reduce complaints. Try to reduce the number of bad reviews that you're getting. Then when you get that, try to figure it out, processes that you can have and you can do on an ongoing basis to keep optimizing this and keep that momentum going and keep that expectation being met, because technology is going to continue to change. Then you go and you try to find something that you're going to wow the customer. Then you're going to try to find something that is going to be completely different than everybody else is doing to have the competitive advantage. So if you're not meeting their expectation first and you try to wow them, they're going to go, oh yeah, that's pretty cool, but I don't think I'm going to buy it again.
Okay, so meeting expectations is the is the foundation that you then build the wow on top of.
Exactly, exactly. So I already like your product, I already like your service, but oh my God, you're so much better than your competitor because of this wow thing. But if you are not even getting the, I really like them, it just go, I just bought it because it's cheap, or I just did it because it was the first one there.
Or the wow becomes a novelty to try once, but the underpinning customer service is not there, the experience, the expectation meeting.
Exactly, and you might get them first because of that wow, but you might not never get their business again.
Okay, Scott?
So in our experience, it's there's a theory called value co-creation, and that's where in a university setting, it's actually understanding that students have a view and idea about what that relationship and that experience should be. So it's not the one way we will tell you how it is. It's actually embracing students and saying, what does your learning journey look like for you? The other thing I think it's relationship. It's my institution or the company that's selling me the car knows who I am. They don't see me as a number. They don't see me as a data point. They see me as me. And universities have to adapt to that. So we do a lot of things where we put students into buckets. You're an international student. You're a domestic student. You're a first in family. We need to be better than that. And we need to be, no, you're Bob or you're Mary or you're Fred. So that's part of it. The other thing for me is it's not just the technology, and you know Scott might never invite me to these things again by saying this. It's not just the technology. It's also
I can get him to leave right now. If you want that.
It's also business process improvement. So if we've got a really bad enrollment experience that takes 13 steps, innovation and a better experience is not a really bad 13-step enrollment process that has a nice, pretty interface over the top of it. That's not cutting it. It's actually okay. How can you make that four steps?
That's interesting, because last year the equivalent panel, we had the Western Sydney University. It was Angelo?
Yes.
Angelo was talking about their process, and when they first looked at it, they had the number that sticks in my mind, it was a 17-point mixture of traditional paper and online, 17 contact point experience. And rather than saying, how can we make some of those 17 points a bit sexier, they completely overhauled the process. They got it down to four contact points, entirely online, could be done in a couple of hours tops. Yep. That's a radical overhaul. I get the impression from the numbers you were talking about, that is the sort of scope you were attempting to.
And we've, following in Western Sydney's path, we've done the same thing literally with our enrolment process and going live in a month or so, where we've got a 13-step process down to four. But we've even challenged it further to go, okay, let's think about learning from other industries, and we're using a retail type approach. So we're introducing the notion of shopping basket into your enrollment process. So we know who you are, we know what course you're in, we know what units you've already done and what credit you've got. Here are the units you need to do next. Pop them in your basket and we'll tell you whether that then matches your study plan. And it's kind of then, that's the wow factor. This is pretty cool.
On that first day of enrollment next year, will you have a bit of a excited frisson about yourself wanting to see how the system actually plays out on game day?
Maybe internally, because externally some of my colleagues might kind of laugh, but internally definitely.
It's easy to sit here now and go, wow, you had 17, you got it down to four, great stuff. Be honest, you're amongst friends here, do organisations come to you with ambitious remits, not understanding how complicated these things are, and say, look, if by midday tomorrow we could have this down to four and all that, that'd be great, can bang off. You go, where are the pain points? What are the expectations? What ends up surprising people in these sort of processes? What are the learnings?
Absolutely. The clients come to us with very ambitious goals and targets, and that's what we're there to try and achieve, though. We do start with the gold standard, the blue sky. Can we actually get four steps down to one by facial recognition or some other form of technology integrations. But, it is part of our role as well to just steer back towards what is capable with the systems that are at hand? What can the platforms do? And what is the low-hanging fruit to actually deliver value quite quickly whilst we maybe build up to that future of facial recognition in one step?
Because there's no shortage of technologies and options available. What are the key technologies that are underpinning this sort of the engaging consumer experiences at the moment, Scott?
So for us, it's very much, we've gone all in the Adobe stack. So we're using Experience Manager, we're using analytics, et cetera, et cetera. But for us, it's kind of a platform of technology. We also have gone very heavily into the CRM space. So we've got Microsoft Dynamics as our CRM. But in the solution that we're building, and I have to be clear, we're on a journey, we haven't solved this, and I don't think we ever will, but we're actually incorporating something like 22 different subsystems that in the current student experience, we literally say, we're now taking you to this, we're now taking you to that. And we've kind of had this epiphany that students don't care where we're taking them, they just want to do what they need to do. So, you know, it is the real systems integration piece that it's the iceberg analogy. We need to worry about the mess that's under the surface so the students can just worry about the pretty piece on top of the water.
How big is the issue of scale? Because I was reading an article about this transformation and it said you partnered with Isobar and Adobe aiming to deliver the group's largest joint project to date on the Adobe Experience Cloud. Would scale itself a part of the whole project?
Yeah, so basically what we mean by that is if we've got, in Australian context, we're a relatively small university, about 17,000 students, but what we mean by that is if we've got 17,000 students, if we get this right, there should be 17,000 slightly different versions of the platform. So it's not a choice of you have one or four personas because we've put you into this bucket and that's what you're going to get. It's the hyper-personalization of, no, we know exactly who you are, how you've come to us, what you've studied, over time, what your interests are on Facebook or who you've connected to in LinkedIn, so we can give you that immersive experience that's about you, Adam, when you want to finish your 9.5-year BA and come and do something with us. I was going to say, that sounded like you fast-tracked in terms of higher ed experiences.
Yeah, back in the 80s, mate, I flew through that arts degree. So, Marty, do you agree with that, those technological underpinnings?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And I also think that it's not the personalization part. It's not just about the creepy part that the marketers love, that, you know your name, we know everything about you. It's not just that. It's actually personalizing the experience for the person, but giving them completely autonomy of what they want to do. So the technology needs to enable the customer to pick their own journey and actually make their own decisions and choose the path that they want to take and actually pick the steps that they want to take and how long or how quick they want to do those transactions. It's also giving us all the technology that we need to enable us to predict what the consumer will want and actually give the information first to them. So it's an enabling. It's more important to enable us to do all that than just deliver, you know, the best customer experience that we could get.
Jonathan, your thoughts on underpinning technologies? What are the keys?
Yeah, I think for us, Velocity became very good at hyper-personalised emails. About 2 years ago, we were very email-focused.
What's a hyper-personalised email?
It's the creepy that I was talking about.
Hyper-personalised email, getting the salutation right. No, I'm kidding. I think some of
Dear Mr. Mister.
I don't know if you saw our campaign we did last year. So we did a campaign where we actually showed all of our members a personalised email that showed the number of miles they'd flown, the number of status credits that they'd achieved, where they'd taken the most flights to. It was called our Cupid campaign, and that was for us a really good way of really personalizing the email channel. And I think more recently our digital transformation has been about getting away from just email as a channel and thinking about building out the digital experience. We brought Adobe Experience Manager on, thinking about our paid media. So really think about the three channels: outbound, on-site, and paid, and bringing those together. And I think that's where, for our business, we see the best results, particularly around some of the campaigns that we do. So the one that we won the award for yesterday, but really bringing those three together has been something that we've moved to recently that's been really successful for us.
Because in this space, in the article I was reading about the transformation at University of Canberra, you were talking up the Qantas app as something, no disrespect, What was it about the Qantas app that impressed you? Something about the tech, the journey and the what was the quote? focus on the journey, not the system.
So I have been known at UC to use the Qantas app as an exemplar of what we're aiming for. And if anybody from Qantas is in the audience, I can give you my frequent flyer number. And if you want to magically put some... and I'm very conscious of the gentleman to my right, and I'm happy to...
We'll get to that, don't worry.
...convinced. Yeah. Look, you know, you take out your phone, and I've actually demonstrated this to our executives, that take out your phone, look at the Qantas app, and you say, what does the Qantas app do for you? You can search for flights, you can book flights, you can download your boarding pass, you can see your Qantas frequent flyer status. It knows who you are, it's personalised. And basically what I said, and my colleagues said at the University of Canberra, is imagine if we can do something like that for students, that they can go in. And at the moment, we're telling them, we're now taking you to the learning management system. We're now taking you to the timetabling system. They don't care and they don't need to care. So can we do the Qantas app-like experience, which is we're just going to put in front of you what you need to have when you need to have it in a technology that you're willing to use and increasingly willing to use.
We've got more exclusive content from the Digital Experiences Conference, the Adobe Symposium 2019, next week on Resource Center. Don't forget to tune in same time next Tuesday as we cover how to get innovative with customer experiences and how to kickstart that digital transition. All happening on Resource Center next week. Catch you then. This is Audrey Raj for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.